Hallelujah. Isn't it good to know the Lord? Amen. Isn't it good that when you get in a battle with the devil, you can tell him where to go? Amen. Instead of him telling you. Yes. Praise God. And I ain't a bit too good to tell him. Hallelujah. I really appreciate you being here tonight. And don't you decide what God's going to do, because you don't know a bit more about what he's going to do than I do. And I just flat don't know. I just know I've got my fasting in. I got my prayer in. I got my praise in. And I'm praising God for Sharon's miracle with her. We bother to praise God for what we've got while we watch it turn into what we want. Amen. And that works. You got something to praise him for now. You might be going through the worst battle you've ever been in, but praise him because you're not already in that other place. Amen. Praise him for keeping you out of there. Amen. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Glory to God. I was raised in praise. Amen. I'd come home as a six-year-old from the first grade of school. And I'd come home and my grandmother, that was back in the days when ladies spent a lot of time in the kitchen. And I'd come in and I knew whether my grandmother had been praising God or not. How'd you know? Suds on the wall. Yeah. Walk in the kitchen, be suds all over the place. Granny been happy again. Slinging Rinso. Lord, I hadn't thought of Rinso in years. That's an old soap it used to be years and years ago. Hallelujah. But Granny's in heaven. Mama's in heaven. Daddy's in heaven. Grandma's in heaven because I want her to Jesus. My daddy's twin sister's in heaven because God allowed me to win her to Jesus. So many people... I'm a soul winner. That's my place in life. Now, I don't win as many as I lead. I take other people's that money that sends me, and I go lead people to Christ for them. They won the souls. I just work here. Oh, hallelujah. But so far, I want you to know how it's working. For 23 years in a row, I've been an ordained minister 42 years. But I've been in India now for 23, be 24 when I go back in March, 24 years, preaching mass crusades in India. Stand up, Davy. Davy's going with me. Stand up, Paul. Brother Paul's already been with me, going back again. Hallelujah. Give these brave young men a cheer. And I can't get Dallas and Frank to go. I've been teaching Kathy how to build a sermon outline. Kathy Angle, Jay's wife. Jay, when are you going to get on fire? Kathy's going with us. There'll be 15 of us leave. Stand up, Kathy, so we can see how pretty Jay's wife is. God's been good to Jay Engel. And there's several more of you in here that I want to take to India. Lisa Marks, that little high-pitched voice of hers sounds better in India than it does in America. Get her outdoors, you can't, it don't squeal quite as bad. But I watched her lead 6,000 people to Jesus in one service. One service. I watched my wife pray a prayer and 8,500 people, it was like rolling a blanket out over them. They knew something was happening. God poured his spirit out on every person there that night when Sharon Angle prayed. Just took the microphone and prayed. Oh, so God's good is his word. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Hallelujah. I'm glad for the word. Now, if it had got started a while ago, I got sense enough to get out of the way. I want what God wants. I don't ever want you to cut off the move of God so that I can preach, whether I got anything to say or not. I got something to say, but I don't have to say it tonight. I can let the Spirit of God move. Hallelujah. In fact, you don't think He's going to move anymore? Hide and watch. Hide and watch. God's going to do some work in this house right here tonight. I prophesied in Jesus' name. I'm reaching for it. Hallelujah. I'm believing for it. I've stayed up many hours of the wee hours of the morning praying for it. Hallelujah. He's a God that answers prayer. No prayer, no power. Some prayer, some power. Whole lot of prayer and it's goodbye, Liza Jane. You'll wonder where the yellow went. Praise God. And the yellow one is the devil. Hallelujah. Good to have English with us tonight. I'm glad you're alive, English. She lives in London. And every time I go through London, which is many times in the course of a year, usually, sometimes 6 or 8 times a year I go through London. Heathrow. Yeah. And I call her and tell her, I went through your hometown, English. And it makes her feel better. Praise God. You know, the closer I get to home, the better I'm feeling about this thing. And I don't know how close I am to home. Hallelujah. But I can discern a homing spirit drawing me to the Father's side. Hallelujah. Praise God, He's here tonight. I want you to listen to this. 1 Corinthians 14, and I'm going to read verse 14. Does anybody know what Job 14 and 14 says? All the days of my appointed time will I wait until my change comes. That's Job 14 and 14. Just happened to think of that. Wonder what kind of service we could have if everybody brought something from God and everybody used what God brought, gave them to bring. That's the way church is supposed to be run. You don't believe that? Go down to verse 26 in the same chapter you're in. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation? Let all things be done unto edifying. Hey, that describes what a Pentecostal service is supposed to look like. I ain't going to apologize for studying. Hallelujah. I'm happy. Clap your hands, somebody, and shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. If that turns over, Tim, run up there and drink the rest of it. Don't waste nothing. I'm reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14. Turn over to somebody next to you and say, for God's sakes, won't you be serious? Okay, we're going to get serious now. 1 Corinthians 14 and 14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. How would you ever prove that? Well, somebody at the University of Pennsylvania in the year of 2006, about 18 months ago, pondered that same question. So I'll have to read my notes and turn to my place here before I can tell you exactly how they faced that problem. Amen. But I want you to know they faced the problem and they did something about it. Clap your hands, everybody. And shout praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want you to know that when they faced that problem, they had some tests that they ran at the University of Pennsylvania. Here it is. Thank you, Lord. And the name of the test that they did was a proton emissions topographical brain scan. And they used radioactive dye, and they did test with contrast, and they did test without contrast, and here's what they found out. That when people were praying in tongues, or praising in tongues, or giving a message in tongues, no brain activity at all was present when they were speaking or praying in tongues. That proves that verse. Give me my Bible and open it back where I had it. Where the ribbon is. Attaboy. Thank you. So listen. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Do you know that the Bible says that from the abundance of the heart, not the brain. Oh, God. This is getting more supernatural every word I say. Amen. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. When you're praying in a heavenly language, heaven is furnishing the utterance. And it bypasses your understanding. You don't have to stop and concentrate on what you're saying. You know what's really happening when you're praying or speaking in tongues? You've got God talking to God, asking God to make intercession for God. How are you going to mess that up? Praise God. Hallelujah. There's no brain activity involved. And they repeated the test repeatedly. And they got the answer. There's no brain activity present when you're speaking in tongues. No brain waves were present. None. Hallelujah. God was using your vehicle to speak through, but heaven was furnishing the utterance. Yes. So therefore it bypasses your brain. You don't have the foggiest idea what you're saying. You're just cooperating with heaven. Somebody shout, amen. Do you think the Bible might have got it right? For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. God knows what you're saying. God knows how to decipher it. And when you're praying in tongues, it's impossible to pray out of the will of God. You're automatically praying in the will of God. Somebody shout hallelujah. Or do I ever more like that? That's the reason things happen when you pray in the Spirit. Lift your hands and bless Him, somebody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They begin to measure the brain waves of people praying with the understanding and praying in tongues. And there was a big difference. When they were praying with the understanding, brain waves were present. When they were praying in tongues, no brain waves were present. University of Pennsylvania, a very prestigious university, praise God. We give God an earthly voice, but His heavenly voice is furnishing the utterance. We just give Him an earthly voice. But the utterance is coming from another world. Woo, Lord, have mercy. Praise God. So I will pray with the understanding and I will pray with the Spirit. When I pray with the Spirit, I'm communicating and fellowshipping with God as He furnishes the utterance. I wish somebody would jump up and shout hallelujah to God. I didn't think I could get you to jump up. I'm fortunate to get you to shout hallelujah. Somebody jump up on your feet and shout hallelujah to the living Lamb of God. Oh, praise God. Clap your hands and shout hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 14:14. Let me make sure you're getting this. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. But the source of the utterance is coming from heaven. We speak in tongues as the Holy Ghost furnishes the utterance. I can speak in tongues anytime I want to. And that's the truth before God. But the only time I want to is when He's furnishing the utterance. I can think up some gibberish and say it. But it's unfruitful to me and the kingdom. And profiteth nobody nothing. But if I wait and praise Him until He furnishes the utterance, then when the utterance comes, I can get a sweet release. And not until, hallelujah, we pray with the understanding and we run out of all of the superlatives in the English language and still have a gut shot feeling that we didn't get the job done. But you don't have that kind of feeling if you'll wait on the Holy Ghost to pray through you. Amen. And praise God until the utterance comes and then kick on over in the Holy Ghost. You can get the job done. You can feel a release. In other words, it feels like you're getting something done. Hallelujah. You are getting something done. Clap your hands and shout hallelujah, everybody. Lou, come up here on the front bench. Bring your Bible with you. Would you get her a mic, please? Listen to this. In Luke chapter 17 and verse 28, I want to make sure you're prepared to do your job during these last days. If you don't realize what's going on, Jesus is getting ready to come. Amen, Walt. Hallelujah. Jesus is getting ready to come. I don't know when He's coming. You don't either. But I know the Bible says He's coming. Hallelujah. In Luke chapter 17 and verse 28, read Luke chapter 17, verses 28 through 30.
Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot.
Hold it right there now. I'll interrupt you from time to time. How long you been with us, Lou?
25 years.
Well, you know me by now.
Yes.
And your husband does. So I'll interrupt you for clarity every once in a while. Read what I told you to one more time.
Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot.
Okay, hold it right there. Of all the choices Jesus could have taken in the Bible, He only chose two. As it was in the days of Lot, and as it was in the days of Noah. That's the only two He chose to tell you what it's going to be like in the last days. Okay, go ahead.
They did eat. They drank. They bought. They sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed.
The reason that He's got to get us out of here before the wars come to us, before the wars take over the world, and before the plagues come that's spoken of in the book of the Revelation, 21 different plagues, before they can come, we've got to get out of here. God is a God of objectivity. God is a God of purpose. He's a God of plan, and He works. The way He did work is the same way He'll work in the future.
All right.
And the way He worked in the past is He got them out of Sodom and Gomorrah. There were 500,000 people